We're on Tes Amud Beis at the bottom, two lines from the bottom, beginning of the line, Keman Ozla. Okay, now just to review, because we're picking up where we left off, we had a machlokes tanoim in a braisa. Where does the rain that we get, where does that rain come from? So we had Rabbi Eliezer who said that the rain comes from the Meimei Ukainus. It comes from the water in the oceans that kind of evaporates and condenses and then comes back down as rain. That was Rabbi Eliezer Shita. Then we had Rabbi Yehoshua who said that the rain comes from the Mayim Elyonim. It comes from these the waters in the upper realms, something like that. Okay. Zak de Heilige Gemara in the bottom of Tes Amud Beis. Keman Ozla Hada Amar Rabbi Chanina. Okay, this statement, the following statement of Rabbi Chanina, who is it going like? What did Rabbi Chanina say? He quoted a pasuk in Tehillim, Koneis Kaneid Mehayom No Sein Ba'otzaros Tehomos. Okay, so Kadosh Baruch Hu is Koneis, right? He gathers in the waters of the ocean, and he puts them into the Otsaros. He puts into the Otsaros, which are the storehouses, Tehomos, his depths. So what does that mean? So says Rabbi Chanina, Migoram leOtsaros sheYismalu Bar? ? What causes the Otsaros, the storehouses, to be full of grain? What causes the storehouses to be full of grain? So answers Rabbi Chanina, Tehomos. Right, what causes the storehouses to be full of grain are the tahomos, are the depths, the water that's in the depths. So who's that like? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer. That's going like Rabbi Eliezer. Right? Why? Because Rabbi Eliezer says that the rain comes from the Meme Ukainos, from the ocean, right? Which is considered to be the depths. So the rain comes from the depths, and therefore that's what causes our storehouses to be full of grain. Okay? How does Rabbi Yehoshua understand that pasuk? Right, Rabbi Yehoshua also has to learn that pasuk somehow. He says that the rain comes from the Mayim Elyonim. How does he understand that? Rabbi Yehoshua, Hahu b'briyaso shel olam. Rabbi Yehoshua says no. That pasuk is not referring to everyday rain. That pasuk is referring to the creation of the world. So the creation of the world, when the world was created, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rashi explains, the whole world was covered in water, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu collected all of the water. And and the dry land came forth, and that's referring to the creation of the world. That's where we have this this concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu moving things around, so to speak, from the Tehomos. But of course, the rain, which actually fills up our storehouses with grain, that comes from the Mayim Elyonim. Zok de Gemara Vayter. Tanu Rabbanan, the Rabbanan Torah Nebraisa, Eretz Yisrael, Aleph Yud stands for Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael nivreis techila b'chol ha'olam kulo nivra lebasof. Eretz Yisrael was created first, and the rest of the world was created after that. It was created after Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was the first location in the world that was created. Yeah, techila means first. Shenamar, as the pasuk says, ad lo asa eretz v'chutzos. Okay, that until Hashem made the land and the chutzos. So the land is a reference, Eretz is a land, is a reference to Eretz Yisrael, and the chutzos is a reference to all the other lands. So you see that Eretz Yisrael was created first. Continues the Braisa. Eretz Yisrael mashke osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'atzmo. Eretz Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu irrigates himself. V'chol olam kulo al yidei shaliach. And the rest of the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu irrigates through a shaliach. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Hanosein matar al pnei aretz. Kadosh Baruch Hu brings rain on the face of the earth of Aretz, v'sholeach mayim al pnei chutzos, and he sends water on the face of the chutzos. So again, Aretz is a reference to Eretz Yisrael, so that's first, and then chutzos comes second. Okay, continues the Braisa. Eretz Yisrael shosem me geshamim, v'chol ha'olam kulo mitamtzis. So Eretz Yisrael is irrigated from me geshamim, from the rainwater, and the rest of the world gets like the leftovers. The rainwater that the rest of the world gets is kind of like the leftover water, the leftover rainwater, not the Iker rainwater. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Hanosein matar apnei aretz. Right? Where does the matar fall? The matar really falls apnei aretz, really falls in Eretz Yisrael. Everybody else gets kind of the leftovers. Zog the rice of Eiter, Eretz Yisrael shoset chila v'chol olam kulo lebesof. Eretz Yisrael is irrigated first, and the whole world is irrigated after that. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, same pasuk, Hanosein matar apnei aretz. Mashal la'adam, it's a mashal. What's the mashal? To a person, shemegabelas hagvina, a person who's churning cheese, right? He's making cheese, so he's churning like the milk and the whey and all the things that, whatever the cheese production process is. Notelas ha'ochel u'maneachas ha'psolas. When you make cheese, you take the cheese that has coagulated, I think is the word, right? You take the cheese that has formed, that has firmed up, and the rest of the psoas, the rest of the stuff, the whey that's still left, that stuff you leave. Okay. Now we're going back to a line that we said earlier, that even if you hold that the rainwater comes from the ocean, so one of the challenges was, yeah, but the oceans are salty, and rainwater is not salty. So the Gemara said that it sweetens up. It's right, the ocean water is sweetened up by the clouds, right? That was the lashon that we had. Zakti Gemara Amar Mar Mematkin Hein Ba'Ovin, right? That the rainwater is sweetened up by the clouds. Min Alei, how does he know this? How does he know that concept? The Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ksiv, the Pasuk says, this is a Pasuk in Tilim Yurches, Cheshchas Mayim Ovei Shechakim. Okay, the darkness of water, Cheshchas from the language of Choshech, the darkness of water is from the thick clouds. Uksiv, and there's another Pasuk which is similar, but a little different, in Shmuel Beis, that says, Chashras Mayim Ovei Shechakim. Chashras is like a sieve. Okay, so Chashras Mayim is the thick clouds. So we have two very similar psukim. One pasuk says cheshchas, and one pasuk says chashras. So says the Gemara. What? Chashras means sieve, right? S-I-E-V-E, like a sifter, right? Okay. So the pasuk. So the Gemara says, shakul chaf v'shadi areish v'kari bei chash chach sharas. So you take the chaf from the word cheshchas, okay, and you throw it, right? Shadi means, right, you take, shakul means you take the cuff, and you throw it before the reish, okay? Chach sharas, and you come up with the word chach sharas. So the combination of these two psukim, these two words, leads to the word chach sharas. What's chach sharas? Chach sharas means the preparation. Right, as Rashi explains, that basically the clouds prepare the rain by like sweetening that rain, removing the salt content. The clouds prepare that rain to come down to the earth. Okay, Zakti Gemara Vayter. The Rabbi Yehoshua Bahani Kroy My Darish Behu. So, what does Rabbi Yehoshua? How does Rabbi Yehoshua understand these psukim? How does he learn these psukim? Right, he's also got to say something about these psukim. And again, Rabbi Yehoshua holds that the rainwater comes from the Mayim Elyonim. He doesn't have to deal with this issue of the saltiness and the clouds sweetening the rain. Rabbi Yehoshua b'hani kray ma'idarish b'hu. Savar lo, he holds kiha. He holds like the following. Techiyasa Ravdimi Amar. When Ravdimi came, he said the following. Amrei b'ma'arava. They say in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, they say, Nahor anane, light clouds, ze'irin mohi. Means there's going to be very little water. Ze'irin means little, right? So Nahor means light. Light clouds means you're going to have a little bit of water. Choshuch anane, but if you have thick clouds, dark clouds, Sagyon mohi, then you're going to have a lot of water. Okay, so again, Nahor anane, light clouds, Ze'irin mohi, you're going to have a little bit of water. Choshuch anane, but if you have dark clouds, then Sagyon mohi, you're going to have a lot of water. Okay, so that's how he understands this psukim. Cheshchas Mayim is a reference to the dark clouds, and Chashras Mayim is a reference to the light clouds. Zog the Gemara Vayter. Keman Ozla Hodetanya. So the following braisa, who's it going like? Mayim Ho'el Yonim B'ma'amar Heim Tluyim. The upper waters, right? The water that's in the upper realms. By the way, I've heard that some say that this is like, if you out in space, there's like floating ice and chunks of ice up there. So some say that's a reference to the Mayim Elyonim. Okay. So what do we say? The Braisa says Mayim Ha'Elyonim B'Mayim Arheim Tluyim. They're suspended by the word of God. Meaning, there's nothing actually suspending them. They're just suspended by the word of God, by the word of Hashem. Uperosehen Megishamim. And the fruits, right, the result of these Mayim Elyonim is the rainwater, is the Megishamim. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Mipri Ma'asecha Tisba Ha'aretz. That the land will be satisfied, will be satiated from the Pri Ma'asecha, from the Peros of your deeds. Okay, so says the Gemara, Keman, who's that going? Like Rabbi Yehoshua. Right, that's going like Rabbi Yehoshua, who says that the rainwater comes from the Elyonim. So how does Rabbi Eliezer understand that pasuk? For Rabbi Eliezer, Hahu b'maisa yodav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu dichsiv. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, that pasuk of Mipri Ma'asecha Tisba Ha'aretz does not mean the peros of the Mayim Elyonim. It means the peros of Hashem's Ma'isa Yadai, right? Of Hashem's deeds, the fruits of Hashem's deeds, that's what's going to Tisba Ha'aretz. So that's certainly true. Everybody can agree to that, right? That the world is satiated based on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's deeds. Right? Everybody's going to agree to that.
Zach the Gemara weiter. Amar Rabbi Shuben Levi, Kol Olam Kulo Mitamtzis Gan Eden. Who shows
the entire world is irrigated from the leftovers of Gan Eden.
Right, the entire world is irrigated from the leftovers of Gan Eden. How do we know? Shneimar, the pasuk says, "V'nahar yotzei me Eden v'gomer."
Pasuk in Bereishis says that the river comes out of Eden. So the concept is that all the irrigation of the world is comes as from the leftovers of Gan Eden.
Tana, so the Braisa teaches us, mitamtzis base kor, shisa tirkov, shosa tirkov. You have shisa or shosa?
Shosa.
So I have like a yud here, but I think it's supposed to be a vav. Shosa tirkov. So what that means is from the leftovers of a base kor. A base kor is a certain amount of land of field that can produce a kor worth of grain. A kor is a measurement of grain. So base kor is a field that can produce a kor worth of grain. So the leftovers from the kli, from the vessel that's used to irrigate that land, can irrigate the a shear of a tirkov, which is 1/60th of a kor. Tirkov, Rashi explains, though he goes through all the math, but a kor, it's a 1/60th of a kor, and we're going to see that's important for a minute. Says the Gemara, continues the Gemara, Vayter Tana Rabbanan, Eretz Mitzrayim havya dalan meos parsa, adalan meos parsa.
Eretz Mitzrayim is 400 parsa. Parsa is a certain distance by 400 parsa. Very often these measurements are not precise. They're not meant to be precise. They're meant to be symbolic. But Eretz Mitzrayim is a large land. It's 400 parsa by 400 parsa.
Hu echa mishishim b'kush.
Eretz Mitzrayim is 1/60th of the land of Kush.
V'kush echa mishishim ba'olam.
Kush is 1/60th of the world.
I'm not sure what land Kush is referring to. The Olam Echad Mishishim B'Gan Eden.
The entire earth is 1/60th of Gan Eden. Okay, which implies that Gan Eden is not an actual place on earth. Right, but it's some sort of supernatural location or maybe somewhere else outside of earth.
Okay. So the earth is 1/60th of Gan Eden. V'Gan Echad Mishishim L'Eden. I'm sorry. The earth is 1/60th of the Gan. The Gan is 1/60th of Eden.
Right? There's a Gemara in Brachos that also distinguishes. It says Gan is a place within Eden. It's the garden of Eden. Eden is a place. And then Gan is the garden within that place.
Okay? The Eden, Echad Mishishim LeGehenna.
And Eden is 1/60th of Gehenna.
Whoa. Okay? Nimtza says the Gemara, Kol Olam Kulo, Kikisoi Kedera LeGehenna.
Right, the entire world is like a little pot lid of Gehenna. Right, the idea of like a cap of a bottle. Right, meaning Gehenna is very large and the world is very small. It's like just like a little bottle cap. Right, on top of
Gehenna. Gehenna is a big place.
I'm sorry.
Who else is going along?
It's a big place. I don't know.
The Yesh Omrim Gehenna ain la shiur.
Some say no. Gehenna is so big that there's no shiur. Right, there is no limit to Gehenna. Again, Gehenna is not a physical place. It's a metaphysical place. Right.
So it's
there's no shear?
Yeah, not here. V'yeshom Eden ain la shear.
Some say Eden doesn't have a shear. Some say Eden is so big, you know, spiritually that there's no shear.
Zog the Gemara weiter. Am Rabbi Oshia, my dechsev, what does the pasuk mean when it says in Yirmiyah, Shochant al mayim rabim, that you rested, right? Shochain, you rested on great waters, Rabas Otsros, the great storehouses. So says the Gemara, what does that pasuk mean? Migaram lebavel sheyhu otzro seha meleos bar.
What causes the storehouses in Babylonia to be full of grain?
Right. What causes the storehouses in Babel to be full of grain? Heve Omer. The answer is you should say mipnei sheshochenes al mayim rabim,
because Babel sits on a lot of water. There's a lot of water near Babel.
Right. There are a lot of rivers that's very well irrigated. That's why the storehouses in Babel are full of grain. Amar Rav. Rav says asira Babel.
Bavel is rich. Asir is from language of Osher, the tough and the shin, very often interchanged from Hebrew to Aramaic, right? So Bavel is wealthy.
Why? The chatzda below mitra, because they can reap. They can reap their the benefits of their grain below mitra, even without rain,
right? Even though Bavel doesn't get a lot of rain, but they still have a lot of produce. They can still grow a lot of things without rain.
Amar Abaye says Nikitinon.
We have a tradition
that Bavel is tovani velo yovshani. The Bavel is swampy.
Tovani means it's like swampy, like toveya banahar means to drown in a river. So it's like a swampy, marshy land. Velo yovshani, and it doesn't dry out easily. Right? The land of Bavel does not dry out easily. Okay, new Mishnah. Here we go. Now, this Mishnah talks about Besein Talu Matar, right, which we haven't started saying yet, but in Eretz Yisrael they have started saying it, as we're about to see in the Mishnah.
Says the Mishnah, Begimon b'mar cheshvan shalinis ha-geshavim.
From the third day of Mar Cheshvan, according to the Tanakhama, you begin asking for rain, meaning saying Besein Talu Matar Livracha.
Rabban Gamliel says, B'shiva bo.
He says, no. You start counting, you start saying Besein Talu Matar on the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan.
Okay, why the seventh day? Tes vav yom achar hachag.
It's 15 days after
Sukkot,
k'dei she'agia acharon shebi Yisrael l'nahar pras, so that the last one, the last person in Klal Yisrael who went to Aliyah L'Regel, who went to Yerushalayim for Sukkot, can get back to Nahar Pras.
So Rashi explains that we're worried about Nahar Pras. That's the furthest area.
Okay, and the concept also is that when it rains, the rivers get very full, right? And the people have to cross the rivers. They didn't have bridges, right? So you had to cross the river. You had to either go through the river or, you know, float on top of the river in some way, shape, or form. So when the rivers are very full, it made it more challenging to cross.
So that's the idea here by Nahar Pras. Okay? So that's a machlokas. Do we begin saying the same tal on Gimel Mar Cheshvan or on Zayin Mar Cheshvan? Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar says, Halacha k'Rabban Gamliel. We pass like Rabban Gamliel, who says we begin saying the same tal on Matar on Zayin Mar Cheshvan. Okay? Now that's all, says the Gemara, that's all in Eretz Yisrael. Tanya, the Braisa, teaches us. Chananya, Omer Chananya says, Uvagola,
but outside of Eretz Yisrael, when do we begin saying the same tal on Matar?
Ad Shishim Bit Kufa.
60 days after the Tkufa. What's the Tkufa? There are four Tkufos throughout the year. The Tkufos are the beginning of the seasons, the autumnal equinox, right? For those who like astronomy. Okay, the autumnal equinox. So 60 days after the autumnal equinox, that's when we begin saying the same Talu Matar outside of Eretz Yisrael. Why? So after the beginning of autumn, right? So why is that? So the reason why Rashi explains is because they don't need rain as much. Right? Eretz Yisrael needs rain more than other lands, and therefore they don't need rain as much. So therefore, they begin saying it later, 60 days after the autumnal equinox. That comes out to either December 4th or December 5th, depending on whether it's a leap year or not. That's why we begin saying it December 4th or 5th. And that's why it depends on the solar calendar. There aren't many things in Judaism that depend on the solar calendar, but since here it depends on the equinox, because it's an issue of rain, so therefore, it depends on the solar calendar. That date does change. Every 100 years, I think, it changes by a day. Right? But just because of whatever, it's a whole thing.
Okay.
Nope. For the equinox is the equinox.
Like, the rainy season is different in different parts of the world.
Oh, yeah, but I guess it's like a low plug type of thing. You know what I mean?
Okay. Here we go. Amar Avuna Bar Chia, Amar Shmuel. So Avuna Bar Chia says in the name of Shmuel, Halacha Kichananya. Excuse me. Halacha Kichananya.
We pass like Chananya. Then in Chutz La'aretz we begin saying it 60 days after the Tekufa.
Asks the Gemara, Ini, is that true? The Habo Minemi Shmuel. Didn't they ask of Shmuel? Me Emas Mad Kerinon V'Sein Talu Matar.
From when do we begin mentioning V'Sein Talu Matar?
Amar Lehu. Shmuel answered them, Mechi Ma'ayle Tzive Lebe Tevos Rishba. When they would bring in ma'ayli, they would bring up or bring in tzivei's wood. When they would bring in the wood, lebei tavos. Tavos was the name of a person. Rishba, he was a bird hunter. Okay,
now this is bringing an example of a certain person who was a bird hunter. Basically, what happens is they would collect wood before the rainy season because they didn't want the wood to get all wet. They needed the wood to, you know, for fuel and for heat. But they needed dry wood. So before the rainy season, they would collect a lot of wood and store it up indoors so that it wouldn't get wet. So Shmuel answered them, from the time that they collect all this wood, that's when you begin saying V'Sein Talu Matar Livracha. So what do you mean? That's not the 60th day after the Tekufa.
So the Gemara says, no, maybe it is.
Maybe it's really the same time. But around 60 days after the Tekufa, that's when they're storing all this wood, and that's when we begin saying V'Sein Talu Matar Livracha.
Okay? Asks the Gemara an interesting question. Yom Shishim.
What do we do on the 60th day? Right? On the 60th day, what do we do?
Kilifne Shishim or Kila Achar Shishim?
Is the 60th day like is that like the 60 days? Right? Or is that like after the 60 days? Meaning, right, the 60th day, do we treat that as prior to the 60 days or the 60th day or after the 60th day? Do you not say V'Sein Talu Matar or do you yes say V'Sein Talu Matar?
Toshma, so come in here. Rav Omer Yom Shishim Kelachar Shishim.
Rav said the 60th day is like after the 60th day, meaning that on the 60th day you begin saying the same Talmud Tali Vracha.
Ushmuel Amar Yom Shishim Kelifnei Shishim.
Shmuel disagrees and he says no. The 60th day is really like before the 60 days, meaning you do not say V'sein Talamatar on the 60th day.
Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, an easy way to remember who said what here. Right? Rav says that it's that you do say V'sein Talamatar, and Shmuel says you do not. An easy way to remember who said what?
V'simnach, a simen, to remember who said what?
Eloi ba'umaya,
the ones who live up high. Right? Eloi, the ones who live up high, like on the mountains, they need a lot of water. They need a lot of rain. Why? Because the rain doesn't sit. What happens when it rains on a mountain? It goes down the mountain. So they needed to rain a lot in the mountains. So that was Rav, and that's why he said you should say the same Talamata, because he lived in the mountains. Okay, he lived in the mountains. Rashi says that was where? Eretz Yisrael. That Eretz Yisrael was very high, so he lived in the mountains. However, Tassoi, with the lower ones, lo ba'umaya. So since Bavel is lower than Eretz Yisrael, so that's why Shmuel, who lived in Bavel, said, oh, you know, we can do without V'sein Talamata on the 60th day.
And that's why he didn't require V'sein Talamata until afterwards. Amar Rav Papa, Hilchas Yom Shishin Kelachar Shishin. Rav Papa says, we paskin, like Rav, that on the 60th day we do begin saying V'sein Talamata, just like after the 60 days. Okay, let's do the next Mishnah. Yeah.
You said that Rav lives
Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. Very good. I'm sorry. So he was from. You're right. I'm sorry. He was not in Eretz Yisrael, but he was from Eretz Yisrael. Right? He moved to Bavel, but he was from Eretz Yisrael. So that's why he said that. Yeah. Okay. He wasn't in Eretz Yisrael. Good. Good question. Thank you. Okay. Says the Mishnah. Excuse me. He gear yudzayin b'mar cheshvan v'luyardu gishamim. Okay. So now we begin to actually talk about tainus. Right? Actually talk about fasting. So says the Mishnah, what happens if the 17th of Mar Cheshvan comes and the rain has not yet come? So the rainy season is supposed to start already, right? The third day of Mar Cheshvan, the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan, the 17th already is 10 days into the rainy season, hence it's not raining yet. So what do we do? So the individuals here refers to the Choshva individuals, like the Rabbanim, the rabbis of the community, used to begin fasting. Gimel ta'anios. They would fast three fasts. Okay, and this is like a Bahab fast. It's a Monday, Thursday, Monday type fast. They would fast three days, not in a row, but Monday, Thursday, Monday. And on those during those fast days, ochlin v'shosin mishecha sheicha, the fast would only start in the morning, meaning they did eat the night before. It wasn't a 24-25 hour fast. They ate the night before. Umutarin b'malacha. And on the fast day, there's still a lot of dumalacha. Ubirachitza. There's still a lot of wash. Sicha. They're allowed to anoint. Ni'ilas hasana, they're allowed to wear leather shoes. Ubitash mishamitam, they're allowed to engage in marital relations. Meaning none of those prohibitions applied during these fast days. It was just not eating and drinking during the day. Higia Rosh Chodesh Kislev lo yardu gishamim. But if even Rosh Chodesh Kislev arrived, and still no rain had fallen yet, then Beis Din gozrin shalosh ta'anios al tzibur. So then Beis Din would make a gzera, they would decree three fast days on the entire tzibur. And again, those fast days had the same type of halachos as the first three fast days. Ochlin v'shosin mishech hasheicha, you can eat at night. Umutarin v'malacha uberachitza ubesicha b'nila sasanu b'tashu shemit. And all those things were allowed, were permissible on these fast days. Says the Gemara, man yichidim, who are these yichidim? Amar Rav Huna, Rabbanon. Rav Huna says, it's a reference to the Rabbanon, the rabbis. V'yomar Rav Huna said, yichidim isanin shlosha ta'anios. These yichidim, these rabbis would fast three ta'anios if it hadn't rained by the 17th of Mar Cheshvan. Sheni v'chamishi v'sheni. They would fast Monday, Thursday, and Monday. Mai komash malon. What's he teaching us? What's the chiddush of Rav Huna's statement? Tanina, we already learned this in the Mishnah. What did we learn in the Mishnah? Ein gozrin tainas al atzibur b'tchila b'chamishi. Whenever they would have a three-day fast, they would never start on a Thursday. It was never Thursday, Monday, Thursday. Right? It was always Monday, Thursday, Monday. Why did they start on a Monday and not on a Thursday? Why? Because they didn't want to inflate the prices. Why would they inflate the prices? So Rashi explains, because if they would fast on a Thursday, that means that on Wednesday, everybody would be buying food, because they have to, number one, break the fast Thursday night, and number two, they have to buy food for Shabbos. So Wednesday, the markets are going to be flooded with people buying food to break the fast and to eat on Shabbos. What are the merchants going to think if everybody's coming? They're going to think, oh, there must be a famine. Right? There must be a famine. So what are we going to do? Jack up the prices.
right? They're going to jack up the prices. So therefore, what did they do? Ela shalosh taniyos harishonos sheni v'chamishi v'sheni. Okay, but rather the three fasts always had to be a Monday, Thursday, Monday, Monday, Thursday, Monday. Okay, and if it was a Monday, Thursday, Monday, so then by the time Thursday would come around, they would recognize, the merchants would know that the Beis Din had been gozer atinus, and they're not going to raise the prices. I mean, the merchants are not rashaim, right? They're not going to raise the prices if Beis Din is gozer atinus. There's no reason to do that. But if it's a famine, you know, then they're certainly going to raise the prices because then they get more money. Okay? So it's a Monday, Thursday, Monday. Mahu detema, what might you think? Hani milait sibor. So you might think that only applies to a tzibor. Maybe this thing about Monday, Thursday, Monday only applies to the tzibor because we're worried about the price inflation, right? But maybe yechidim, for just the rabbis, who cares? Make it Thursday, Monday, Thursday.
So says the Gemara, about yachid lo,
right? Maybe for a yachid, you can make it Thursday, Monday, Thursday.
Kamash malan,
Rav Huna says, no, we keep the yechidim and the tzibor together, just like the tzibor always fasts Monday, Thursday, Monday, so to yechidim always fast Monday, Thursday, Monday. Okay, let's stop here.
Let's chazer chen. I know this was a bit of a...